Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on a beautiful, happy, gonna be a toasty little hump day.
It's gonna be warm, it looks like.
Beat the heat, 81 degrees.
All right, back into the 80s, baby.
My daughter watched, we were watching, obviously, the Spurs-Thunder game, and the game gets over, and it goes right into KGW News, and my daughter's like, boy, this is depressing.
Yeah, not great news up north yesterday.
She's like, what does nine missing at a chemical plant really mean? And I go,
yeah, not good.
I would guess not melted.
Good. Probably not good.
That's my takeaway as an adult, would but I don't know. I hope they find those people.
Never worked at a chemical plant before, so I don't know, but it doesn't seem promising.
And then literally the next story, Longview parents are boycotting the school administrators because of sexual assault by the basketball team.
But I'm like, okay.
Boy, Longview just going through
Longview,
it right
what are we doing up there, man?
I'm going through an ordeal right
Figure
now.
Figure it out, dude.
A lot to get to in the second hour of this delightful little radio program, but I want to kick it off by reminding you.
What?
I haven't got an email this morning, so I'm just going to do this read.
Ray.
June 23rd, Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. The afternoon round is sold out, and guess what? One left.
Uno mas.
In the morning.
Who's going to be the show that sells it? Don't let us down, listeners.
I don't really think that's how that works.
That's how it works. We get bonuses per foursome sold.
No, we don't. Why are you lying publicly about that?
I'm just kidding. We don't.
I wish we did. Only one foursome is left in the morning round. So if you want to come golf with us on June 23rd out at Langdon Farms for the Fan Golf Classic, you can. We'll be hanging out at Langdon Farms at the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3 sixth hole. We'll all be eating Matt's barbecue. You can head to 1051thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for info and to sign up today. Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, Lorehurst Market Steakhouse and Butcher Shop, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, Pub Beer, Cheap Fun, and Window Nation. The Boom. Pub Beer Cheap Fun thing sounds like two different companies, so I had to...
Yeah, you got to make sure you put it together.
I have to say it in a way for my brain to make it make sense there.
Love a good pub beer.
So come hang out, 1051thefan.com. The football game is back in our lives.
Ooh, which one?
The Oregon-Oregon State game.
Bring it back, baby.
Formerly known as the Civil War, formerly played at the end of the year, formerly in the same conference, is now at the beginning of the season.
Yes.
In a nameless game that I'm not sure means anything to anybody involved.
No.
But they added four. Oregon and Oregon State both announced four future games with each other between 2028 and 2032. So the Ducks will play the Beavers in Corvallis on September 16th, 2028. Oregon State will then travel to Eugene to play in Autzen on September 15th in 2029. There will not be a game in 2030, but then the rivalry will return to Eugene on August 30th of 2031.
Hey.
And then concluding in Corvallis on September 11th, hashtag never forget, 2032. What an odd little schedule they've made there.
This is the way the world's got to work now, unfortunately, that there's not a lot of open dates. You got to cook some stuff. Oregon had to move some other games around. I think there was a random another non-conference game they had to move the date of yesterday, and they announced the move date. I will at least give a tip of the cap to the Oregon State Athletic Department for not, although ironically it is going to happen at one point in this revisit of the rivalry, but I know a lot of Beaver fans were upset with the idea of kicking it back off with the game being back in Eugene when you just played in Eugene last year. Now, in this, you were going to get back-to-back games in Eugene with the gap in between.
Yeah.
But that was a bit of a deal breaker the last time this stuff was rumored that they were going to be going back to Eugene. Everybody's like, dude, we were just there. Why would you not have the next game be in Corvallis? And so at least they got that concession out of Oregon to have the next game in Corvallis in 2028. But I think your summation of it was pretty spot on. I don't think there's a lot of people who are jonesing for this game to come back. There's a part of me that's happy that it will be played while acknowledging it will never be the same. And acknowledging that my team is the one that is kind of in the backseat in terms of deciding this. Like, Oregon State is the one that should be able to make the call. And if they want to keep playing the game, then let's keep playing the game. It certainly benefits my program to get a close game and not have to travel very far for a non-conference every other year and being able to take a bus and not a plane when you got to play conference games in Rutgers. So I get the frustration from Beaver fans. There's a 5% of me that's happy the game is still going to be going on. But I also think we're going to get to probably the kickoff week of all those games and say, yeah, is anybody really that excited about it?
In order to accommodate the addition of the OSU game in 2029, Oregon's game with mighty Utah State has been shifted from the 15th to the 8th.
Ooh, how dare they?
You have 7 less days
how
to prepare.
Now we're on a short rest? Is that
for
what you're
Utah
telling me?
State.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
the
yeah.
Aggies with one less week of preparation, I don't know if you guys are going to be able to do that.
People call that a trap game.
Well,
head on a swivel.
We've talked about this almost ad nauseum, like with Scott Barnes when he was in charge and all that stuff. I guess I'll just ask this. Who is this game? Who are they doing this for then? If you're telling me Oregon fan doesn't really care,
and
Oregon State fan is basically telling you, we don't want this, and I don't know if that's true. Maybe the majority of Oregon State fan that doesn't listen to sports radio, that just goes to the games, works their 9-to-5, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're in. Maybe they're like, hey, oh yeah, give this back to me. But like, who is it for then? Because the people we hear from, they don't want it from
fans
the OSU
don't want
side.
It. Fans don't want it really on either side, I feel like.
Right,
I don't,
so who are they doing it
there's
for?
There's not a lot of Duck fans who are jonesing for the game, and I certainly understand why Beaver fans are like, please don't ever play this game again. I understand that point. The argument would be it's not about the fans. It's about two different things. For Oregon, you're playing the game because it's a close game. You're playing
the
game
reasons.
Keep the history intact and have a non-conference game 45 minutes away.
I don't mean to disrespect you when I say this.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the history. I think you're right on it's the travel.
You get
cut on the Big Ten stuff.
I don't know if there a guilt probably isn't the right word, but I do think there's a little bit of like, you know, we've always been aligned at the hip in so many things,
and
now we're not aligned,
and
now like let's keep this thing alive. So I think we all know that's the reason why Oregon wants to do it. An Oregon State fan can laugh at this all they want. The reason Oregon State does it is because how many, like you can feel however you want to feel about Oregon. Oregon has risen to the level under Lanning where they are one of the 5 or 6 best teams in the entire sport. Now, they haven't won a national championship, but they are unquestionably one of the 5 or 6 best teams in the sport.
They're one of the biggest brands in the sport for sure.
How many of the other top 10 teams in the sport can you get to come play in your stadium on a regular basis?
So
the answer is none.
None.
Maybe a one-off. You got randomly Texas Tech, but that was scheduled a while ago.
I think they have Ole Miss.
There's an Ole Miss
is
game.
Is Ole Miss home and home, or is it just at Ole Miss?
I thought there was a home and home
because that's
component.
Pretty badass to get Ole Miss. I don't know if Ole Miss is going to buy their way out and not come to Corvallis.
They
I
could,
blame
and
them.
We also don't know what they're going to do under Golding. Does
exactly.
he keep the thing going, or are they back to being an 8-4
but
team?
But your point is largely like of that caliber consistently.
Nobody's coming on a maybe a one-off, but not on a every other year regular basis, right? So you get that on your bingo card, and also. Like, and part of that is who gets to broadcast when the game is in Corvallis, the Pac-12 TV partner. And with Oregon comes eyeballs and attention, and with that game will come some sort of conversation nationally, and that will be picked up and probably loved by the idea of an ESPN or a CBS or whatever your broadcast partner is to have a game late in September that you could throw on and have a nice reach to it because Oregon will likely be ranked inside the top 10. So I get why the fans don't want anything to do with it. I do understand why both administrations and athletic departments want to keep the game going. I think it behooves them to have a game that is a marquee game on your schedule, that it might be some green and yellow in that stadium, but you're going to sell it out, and there's not a guarantee you're going to sell every other game out, and it's good for your TV partners.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what drives the bus in college football right now.
I hear what you're saying, and it makes sense, but I'd counter with, like, if I'm coaching Oregon State, I don't want this game. Now, I don't know if Shepard's going to be there in 2032. That's a long ways away, right? We don't know who's going to be where.
The Ole Miss, by the way, right now is a home and home, but you're at Ole Miss in 27. Yeah. They come here in 2030.
They're going to buy their way.
That's the year that there's no Civil War.
Yeah. I can't wait for them to buy themselves out of that game. Here's $800,000.
It'd be a backbreaker, man.
It would be a backbreaker, but also not surprising.
No.
But, like, you have to maximize your position here.
Yeah, so, I certainly understand that argument.
So what I would say is, like, for all the good points you just made and laid out, and they make sense, I'm countering with, oh, wait, I got to play Oregon, and I don't want to say that, like, it's impossible to beat them because it's football.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly the percentages are not in my favor in any way. Why put that potential L on my schedule?
Yeah.
And just, and this is what sucks, I think, about the sport.
I get the point.
For the group of six schools is they have to kind of think about this. And I don't like taking this position.
Mm-hmm.
But you're better served making the playoff. Are you not? For brand building and building a program up, you're better served making the playoff. It's probably huge for James Madison to replace a Cignetti and a Chesney by making the playoff, mm-hmm. right? By being in a conversation. Look what it's done for Tulane. Tulane is just, we're just going to throw Tulane in this conversation until they prove
right.
that they're not that program anymore. And so, like,
even though the coach left the program,
exactly.
I keep going.
It sucks to have to say this, and it sucks as a viewer to not get slightly bigger opponents that get you more excited. But for a group of six school, you have to be thinking, how do I maximize my chances of making a 12 team or whatever team playoff?
Mm-hmm.
Losing a game certainly puts me a little behind the eight ball in some ways because other schools might have cupcakes all the way through their non-conference, and then they play their conference games and they're the better team. So
yeah, I've seen that argument
made. That's the only thing I would say to go against all of the points you made, because I do agree with logically they make a lot of sense, but it just sucks to know you're going into a situation where
it's so, and not a guaranteed loss, but close to it.
You're giving yourself an L in a roundabout way. Nobody wants to say that. I understand it, but
no.
Largely, it feels like you are kind of signing up for an L.
Well, and there's no, like, the tough part about keeping the game on the books is there's no guarantee, right? Does Dan Lanning leave to become the next coach of the Kansas City Chiefs in 3 years, right? And then what is, you know, does Oregon fire a bad coach? Like, you never know what the future holds. That's the difficulty right now of making these big decisions in college athletics, is that we're doing it with now in mind, not knowing where we're going to be 5 years from now, what the sport's even going to look like at that point.
That's true.
So that's a difficulty of it. What I would say, though, because I certainly understand that point of stacking wins, and I saw Beaver fans making that argument yesterday of, like, why wouldn't we want a game that's more manageable or more winnable? And the only counter I would make to that is, whether you win or lose the game, it's not going to impact the big criteria that you need to meet to make a playoff. Because I don't think, even if the playoff expands to 24, maybe I'm wrong on this, I hope I'm wrong on this, I don't think a lot of those at-large spots are going to go to group of six teams.
I don't either.
I don't think they're tripping over themselves to be like, let's add four more
but you
group
just,
of six.
You just had two in a 12, so
you did.
You're doubling the field, even though I agree with
but
that.
But the two in the 12 is an anomaly that I don't know if will ever happen
but
again.
It
it's because of the ACC,
had,
and I get yeah. it. I get it.
But you had multiple anomalies, right? You had Boise get a bye.
You did.
And then you had so, two in the 12.
I'm glad you brought that up. So this is my counter-argument to it.
Yeah.
Who did Boise play the year they got a bye?
Oregon. And they lost.
And they lost. They almost won the game.
It was a good loss.
Yeah.
Because it was close.
Tulane, you mentioned, made the playoff last year. They went 11-2. They lost one conference game. Do you remember the other game they lost in the regular season?
Yeah. Who was it? It was a power opponent. What, was it Ole Miss?
It was Ole Miss. They
played
Ole Miss twice.
That's right.
They lost 45-10 in Oxford early in the season. They went 10-2. They won their conference, and they made the college football playoff. And so that's the argument. I certainly understand the, like, how do we make it as easy as possible to make the playoff? Because that's ultimately the thing that matters the most.
Yeah.
You're showing the last two. Now, James Madison, who did they play? They played, I know they lost to somebody, Louisville. They played Louisville on the road.
That's
who's,
right.
You know, okay. Not Oregon, but Louisville's fine. They're a respectable ACC team. Mm. And they lost the game 28-14. They ended up winning the rest of their games. They won their conference, and they went to the playoff. And so, still the thing that matters the most is winning your conference and being the highest ranked group of six conference champion, which I think the Pac-12 champ will have a good chance to be,
mm-hmm.
and losing a non-conference game to a top five team in the country, I don't think will eliminate you from playoff contention. Now, if you get into the area of a 24-team playoff and the idea of maybe an at-large bid coming to a group of six, and you have a, 59-10 loss hanging over your head from September, then your argument might fall apart for making the playoff. But that would be the encouraging thing I would say, is that we literally saw Tulane do this last year, and we saw Boise do it the year before, and they both made the playoff despite losing their big non-conference game.
Without knowing the contract length right now, What would you put the percentage chances that by that final game in 2032, these two teams are returning to a conference together?
Next to zero.
Oh, next to zero?
Yeah.
Less than five?
I just don't.
Yeah.
That will be about the horizon of when Oregon's going to get a full share in the Big Ten, and it'll be over $90 million a year.
Yeah.
The only thing,
you know the length of that deal more than I. I just asked.
I think it's up in 2031.
2031. So 2032 is interesting because I the only reason I asked this is not because I think Oregon and Oregon State should be in. They're obviously in a different tier right now, right? But
yeah.
Given the history of all of it and the way the sport is designed, it almost feels like this sport is going to go, they're going to jump the shark and somebody or something is going to drive it. I don't know why I feel this way. This has nothing to do with Oregon State. I've just been viewing all of the narrative-based stuff around the 24 expansion stuff. You see mm-hmm. the SEC, Kirby Smart. We'll take our ball and go home. We'll just do an all-SEC. It's like, mm-hmm. go do that, dude. You will suffer greatly if you do that.
Yeah.
I just wonder if eventually we find a point where weirdly, much like the streamers are making some people go back to cable because they basically created a cable ecosystem, I wonder if the sport overdoes it and then they go, why are we doing this?
Why don't we turn the clock back a little
bit? Why don't we have hubs in areas that people are at?
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good idea. Be like, okay, now the pack is kind of weirdly. I've been thinking about this a little bit with the way that the narratives are growing in the sport and the way the sport is progressing. It doesn't seem like people are happy about it, but they're like kind of forcing themselves into this stuff. And I just wonder by 2032, which is so far away in sports.
It's a long time down the road.
A lot can happen. And I'm not saying that you're not right. It's more like I just wonder if the sport's like, this has all been really stupid. None of this makes sense. Why is Washington going to Rutgers in October? Let's course correct here.
It's one of the biggest misses of the modern playoff is that in the old conference system, a 12-team playoff is perfect.
Yeah.
It was like you would have had a rep from every pocket of the country, from every conference, and it was made for that, and now we obviously don't have that anymore. The Big Ten media deal runs through 2030.
Yep.
So 2030 is when you're going to re-up, and then
It'd probably re-up before 2030,
probably,
right?
Right, and then you're looking at a full share. So that's the biggest thing here. I guess the follow-up question I would have for you is how much faith do you have in Congress? Because there's a bill that's going to be introduced.
I don't even know if is Congress in session. I feel like this Congress is largely doing nothing.
They're going to introduce a bill in the coming weeks mm-hmm. that is a bipartisan bill. This was announced yesterday between a Democrat and a Republican. Ted Cruz is the Republican. I can't remember who the Democrat is, mm-hmm. but they're introducing a joint bill that essentially is giving the NCAA their antitrust status back, which will give them some ability to restrict transfers. Spending on play, like it gives them the ability, and you cannot file lawsuits because the antitrust would be back for them.
Okay.
And one of the things of that bill that they're trying to do is to pull together the conference money into one general fund. And if that happens,
there's no benefit for Oregon or Washington.
Then you back in the Pac-12 because we're splitting this pie evenly between everybody.
Yeah.
But if that does not happen, explain to me in any way how it makes sense from Oregon to go from we're going to make $90 million a year in a Big Ten TV deal to whatever it would be in a Pac-12 reunified conference
TV
deal.
I'm with you that. Like,
that's what you would ultimately need. You need a czar or a CEO to take over that bill to pass and to say, look, enough of this, everybody looking out for their own. We need a general wealth of this sport, and we're pulling together all the money and splitting it evenly between TV contracts.
It's just such a massive beast. It's funny how they can't, like when they went to the White House and they did the Trump meeting and it largely was an absolute nothing burger of a 2-hour session.
Nothing happens.
What's funny to me is the leaders in that sport and some of the all-time names of the sport, they can't get in a room and agree, but they largely say the same things.
Right.
It's hilarious to me.
Yeah, it's Maria Cantwell and Ted Cruz. They're working to release a bipartisan bill in the coming weeks, next week. They feel like they have it narrowed down and they have their answers
to it. So the government's going to basically get involved.
This is the only thing that will ever save college athletics because the NCAA has no teeth. Eventually, conferences or teams are going to, we're not listening to you anymore. They're already there. You need some sort of antitrust exemption that keeps the NCAA from getting sued every time they change a rule. That's the problem is that every time you try and say,
they lose in court.
You can't transfer. Yeah. Well, we're going to file a lawsuit. And guess what? It takes one judge to say you can transfer as many times as you want. Now what do we get? You can't tell me how much money I can make. Okay, one judge agrees with you. Boom. Now you can't tell them how much money they can make. So if you bring that back and it actually passes, maybe there's some hope for something like that happening.
I just was wondering. 2032 is a very far time away.
That's the biggest argument, I think, for keeping the rivalry is you just don't know. We have no idea where we're going to be 5 years from
but
now.
But if you ever were to get to a spot where the conferences went back, the game's back on naturally anyway.
You're in the
more
same
organically,
conference.
And it feels less forced. This to me, even though we're talking about a very far date,
man.
Felt very forced.
I get it, man. Yeah, there will not be a lot of interest or drop. Like that's not a talking point anymore locally. Like the week of those games, we had it last year.
One of them is the opening game. How odd
is it? The opening game of the season?
August 30th?
That August 30th.
Yeah, the August 30th one will be.
In 2031? How odd is that going to feel?
That's what the Apple Cup is this year.
I know.
In Seattle. First game of the year.
That game, for whatever reason, that game has felt different than this one.
Well, because the Cougs beat him 2 years ago and hung with him for three quarters last year.
I think that's why they feel a little closer, whereas right now this doesn't feel close.
No, it does not.
But you got four more of them. So they announced that yesterday, both institutions. They've got four games, 2028, 2029, 2031, and 2032.
Yep.
It's back in our lives.
Yeah!
Who needs it, though?
And we still call it the Civil War, by the way. It still has a name. It's the Civil War. It's the Civil War.
I don't know, man. Dennis Dixon told me.
Dennis Dixon, I love you, buddy. Healthy knee, we might win a national championship, and you probably have a Heisman trophy.
You probably win the Heisman, for sure.
It's the Civil War.
Yeah. But they won't do it.
Just bring it back.
We need the institutions.
You know what
to do
they
it.
Need for a PR win? That.
Yeah.
If you pair that with the announcement that they're revisiting they're bringing the game back,
yes.
Then I think it's one for all fans to be like, oh, that's good news.
If they would have agreed internally to that and then both tweeted out on their athletic department accounts,
by the way,
nothing civil about it, and then an announcement,
yes.
We would have all been like, I mean, you're kind of getting it.
I'm not that interested in the game, but at least we're calling it the Civil War again.
I mean, if you're leaning back into the name part of it, you know, you're making it more interesting for us. All right, we have a lot more to get into as hour two rolls on. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
First on The Fan, the OKC Thunder one step closer to returning to the NBA Finals, taking Game 5 from the Spurs, 127-114. They locked up Victor Wembanyama, allowed him just 4 of 15 made field goals. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 32 points and 9 assists. They'll try to close things out in San Antonio Game 6 tomorrow. Ducks and Beavers announcing their agreement to resume the Civil War on the gridiron, starting with four games over five seasons, the first one in 2028 in Corvallis. There'll be games in Eugene in 2029 and 2031, back in Corvallis in 2032. Portland Fire are back home at Moda Center tonight for a three-game homestand, beginning with the Connecticut Sun, 7 o'clock tip. Fire have won three of their last four. They beat the Sun 83-82 10 days ago. We'll have pregame coverage on 910 ESPN Portland starting at 6:45. The Fire, a 6.5-point favorite. Jason Swigart from the George McCoy at Warren Allen Sports Desk. Don't call your mom. Call George McCoy at warrenallen.com.
This is the Fan Sports Network. This is Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM.
Hey, welcome back in. 7:26 on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan, and what we like to call the Fan Sports Network. That's 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning. Happy hump day, everybody.
People are criticizing me for wearing two different teams at the same time. I'm getting critiqued for that. And I would say, joke's on you. Just the idea that I can even match is a win for me from a fashion standpoint.
As somebody that bought you the shirt you're wearing,
yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm very glad that it's holding up and that it's not, like, changed in size much. I didn't know how it was going to wash.
It has not shrunk on me quite yet.
It's tie-dye, and I know it's not, like, a traditional you-made-it-in-the-backyard tie-dye, but, like, I was a little wondering, like, kind of curious how this was going to go.
Homemade tie-dye shrink pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You got to go a couple of sizes bigger knowing that they're going to shrink on you.
Now, as somebody that's also pretty anti, like, Adidas shoes
with Nike
socks.
People are comparing it to. They're saying Nike and Adidas, you don't wear them at the same time, to which I say, yes, you do.
At least they're in the same state of sports teams.
And it's the same color. It's the same.
It's not. You're wearing a bright green.
I mean, it's green and green. It's
You're
Timbers
wearing
and
Oregon
Ducks.
Traditional forest green, but it's a Timbers green.
If I'm wearing a Blazer hat with this, then sure. It's a little. Nah, I look like a Christmas tree over here, okay? That's not a win for anybody. I love the things that people from a fashion standpoint will criticize. Yeah. I'm just glad I found a way to wear the same, like, somewhat color of green.
You're greenish.
I'm greenish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a win for me getting out of the door.
I totally get it, man.
5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, amongst other things.
I didn't grab a red hat leaving the house today.
All right, a lot to get to. Status story in the final hour, along with Ben Golliver, ESPN.
Yes, he's at ESPN now.
He's an ESPN guy.
We knew that guy was good. That's of those, like, one of those layoffs. You're like, yeah, get 3-2-1. Who's going to hire Ben Golliver? Somebody will.
I'll tell you this. This is not a shot at Ben. I have been a huge fan of Ben Golliver since his days in Rip City.
Yes.
I didn't. Because I don't know the media landscape now. So I was like, God, I hope somebody picks him up. It's an obvious win for them if they do.
Yeah.
When ESPN announced it, I was like, yes.
I think when you have the talent to that level, somebody go find
him. I know.
And we know Ben Golliver is one of the best writers.
It's a tough media climate right now.
Totally understand it.
All right. A lot more to get into. I want to ask you if we should all make fun of Becky Hammon.
Almost.
Did you see this?
I did see this, yeah. And she's not backing down.
No, she's kind of holding firm. It's also, so Becky Hammon 2 years ago did a podcast, and in the interview basically said on, I think it was the topic of Jalen Brunson, you can't win when your number one scoring player is a 6'2 and under player.
Didn't she have a stretch where she worked at ESPN too as an analyst, and I think she said it on ESPN as well.
I believe
between coaching stints, maybe before she became, who's she the coach of?
Well, she's the Aces coach.
How long has she been the Aces coach?
A few seasons now. Yeah. She's got a couple titles.
Okay, I feel like she was an
assistant with the Spurs for a while, and then she went to the Aces.
She was once a candidate for our head coaching opening when we interviewed all of our candidates and didn't just hand the job to Chauncey Billups.
I was told the owner of the then Blazers, Jody Allen, wanted to hire her because she's a woman.
Yeah.
But as the owner could not make the decision of who to hire as the coach, it was up to the man.
Everything ran smoothly for 20 years.
That was literally framed that way, that Jody Allen wanted to hire Becky Hammon.
Jody, you own the team. You can do whatever you want.
But didn't make the hire.
No.
But wanted her so bad, she wanted her.
Yes.
Definitely was never given to Chauncey Billups.
No.
Just at the end.
He had never met Neil O'Shea before.
They
had never met.
No past
relationship at all. Isn't that wild? And they just bumped into each other at a coffee shop, and he gave him the job.
Guys, move on. We will. Thanks, Neil. So her take was basically like a small guard leading a team doesn't win you a title.
Yes. The Damian Lillard.
Now
we were this for a decade.
She came out once the Knicks clinched the spot, and she was asked about this, and she basically was like, if I'm proven wrong, kudos to Jalen Brunson. I'll say I was proven wrong. She's still standing in the take.
That's what you do. You die on hills.
She's dying on the hill.
You have to, because right now they haven't won the championship. She didn't say you can't make the NBA Finals.
She can't win it.
Can't win the NBA Finals.
He really is unique in this sense. I read I think it was either The Athletic or ESPN. It was an article on this. And I know we talked about it a bunch when Dame was here the first time. But when you do the 6'2 and under thing, it's funny because in the article, they throw Steph in that, and I am telling you confidently, Steph Curry is not 6'2.
Taller than 6'2?
Yes. Mm. Steph Curry is taller than 6'2. Mm. I don't know why he's in this. I think he's actually listed at 6'3.
Oh, okay.
And he's a legitimate all of 6'3.
He's also the great, he's an outlier. He's the greatest shooter of all time.
Well, he's also, yeah.
Like, that's a difference than a and Lillard's an unbelievable shooter, and Brunson is an unbelievable scorer, but Steph is an outlier.
But if I took Steph out, you've only really had it one time in league history.
Isaiah. Yeah.
And Brunson, it's interesting. He's on the doorstep of it. I don't know if he'll get through the door and win it.
What about Mr. Big Shot himself, huh? Finals MVP?
Well, he's 6'4".
Is he 6'4"?
Or 6'3".
Never stood next to him.
And that's not... And Isaiah Thomas.
I'm just kidding.
Situation.
I'm just kidding.
It's just a fascinating thing to think about, because then yesterday it also got thrown up about if only Dame had this team with him, this would be Damian Lillard.
Ironically, every single one of the guys that he is playing with is guys that we mentioned going after but never tried to.
Well, we either had or we wanted
we
to.
We had
go
Josh
after.
Hart.
Yeah.
We mentioned OG Anunoby multiple times.
The Shaden draft.
The Mikal Bridges trade was a presumed going to happen because of their close friendship. And that was the other chuckle I had of like, what a crazy idea. So you surround an undersized guard who's an elite scorer.
With lengthy
but wings. Not a great defender with lengthy wings instead of other 6'2" guards. You can win. And then people try and tell me the last 20 years have been nothing but sunshine and rainbows. Those silly people.
Oh, no.
We've never made any mistakes.
It's been perfect.
We didn't allow Neil O'Shea to ruin the legacy of Damian Lillard by never actually trying to win with
him.
Well,
let's also be fair. Neil got fired. We had a general manager with two top seven picks.
He
and
did.
He kept both of them.
Could have got and those picks turned into two guys who might not be on the roster next year.
Correctamundo, Dikembe Mutombo.
Glad we held on to those.
I just find him a very fascinating player because I said yesterday, and I certainly understand the pushback of saying Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. I can't argue the point. It's more just like I'm giving credit to a guy that's achieved something. And you can say, well, the East, Sprague. And I'd say, who in the West did Oklahoma City or San Antonio beat that New York couldn't beat?
To this point, nobody.
Nobody.
They could have beaten any of them. Now, could they have won against OKC or San Antonio? To be determined.
We have to wait and see on that.
But prior to that, yeah, they could have beaten Denver. They could have beaten the Lakers or the Rockets.
Do they win 11 straight by the largest point differential in NBA playoff history? Probably not. But do they still get to the finals if they have all the West teams sans OKC, San Antonio? I would bet yes.
I would too.
So you can poo-poo the East. They've earned the right to be there. And we'll have to see if they're going to beat OKC or San Antonio. But that being said, I think the Brunson Dame thing is a fascinating damn it to me. Not that,
oh, we should have tried?
Well, not yeah, thanks, Captain Obvious. Yeah, you're right. We should have tried harder.
Not just run Dame and CJ back every single year acting as if something was gonna change.
What does Brunson do? I guess what about Brunson do you think is different, if anything, from prime Dame? Or do you think if Dame had the same thing, Dame is in the finals as the lead?
I feel like the way that they score the ball is different, not in a better or worse way. They're just, I feel like they're different players, but maybe I'm wrong on
Dame's
that.
Dame's a better three shooter.
Dame is a more prolific three-point shooter.
I think Brunson's a better mid-range guy.
He seems like more of a guy who lives in that 17, 18-foot range where he's kind of, you know, very creative with finding space and getting his shot up quickly, his turnaround jumper. He's got a fadeaway in his back.
Dame's more athletic.
Dame is more athletic.
Do you feel like they finish around the same rate?
I mean, yeah. I mean, Brunson may be a little more prolific with some of the numbers that he's put up, and I think didn't he already break the fourth quarter scoring record, or he's going to break the fourth quarter scoring record for a postseason?
They both have the clutch thing.
Both have the clutch thing. So there's not a lot of differences there for me. They're slightly different players, but it's not. You know, neither one is known as a dominant defender, which it's hard to be in the NBA.
Right.
As a 6'1" point guard, that's not an easy thing to do. Like that, it is funny because I saw the Becky Hammon stuff, and we'll see. Maybe she ends up having to walk that back. If Brunson wins a title, it's awesome.
I love that she was like, look, if he does it,
I'll
walk it back.
You don't walk it back yet because they could get swept in the NBA Finals. And she's like, yeah, see what I said? You wanted me to apologize a week ago, and now I'm not going to do it. My bigger takeaway has just been, remember all the years we spent banging our head on the walls, arguing, can we try? Can we be aggressive? Can we roll the dice here? And there's been moves that New York has made that we have. When they went and got Karl Anthony Towns in the trade, it was like, Cat, with that contract, how's that working? He's the best three-point shooting big in NBA history. They traded 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges, and we mocked that trade. And at times in the postseason, the mocking has seemed correct. But guess who's in the NBA Finals right now? The guy who we weren't willing to part ways with because Shaden Sharp was too good to pass up. Is now one of their best players in OG Anunoby.
Are you counting Dirk as a big?
Josh.
Side note, because he ain't better than Dirk.
I know, I get it. They're different kind of bigs, right? A shooting big and a traditional center. I get it. Josh Hart we had, and we traded him for Cam Reddish.
Yeah.
And then he ends up that's been the frustration, and it again comes back to the idea of criticizing the current ownership group who has not had time to do anything and acting as if the last 20 years have been great.
Well,
when that was our reality for 10 years of never actually trying with one of the two or three greatest players in the history of your franchise.
I think the tough thing is most people probably answer no to this question, but like, is the Mikal Bridges trade already been worth it for them?
If you get to an NBA Finals, yes.
Like if we got to a Finals and we traded 5 picks for a player that you would say at best is an elite role player, right? An elite role player.
It's definitely an overpay. Nobody disagrees with that.
Well, he was not playing very well by the end of the year. And then randomly in this run they've had he is
moments,
his play has been really good now.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering yesterday on the Dame Brunson stuff, and then also like We've talked about this. We talked about this a few, like 2 months ago with Bane and Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to pay that Bane Bridges price anymore.
For a Trey Murphy, you're going to give up 5 first-round picks for Trey Murphy?
Is Trey Murphy going to give me what Mikal Bridges? You know what I mean? Like, is he a missing piece to the title appearing team?
Right.
And so that's the thing is, like, is that already a success? 5 picks is a lot of picks.
When was the last time the Blazers were in the NBA Finals?
1992.
I was 3 years old. I'm now 37.
Yeah.
By the next time they go, my son will be older than I was the last time that they were in the NBA Finals. So, yeah, it would be worth it.
Yeah.
I would gladly mortgage my future for a trip to the NBA Finals.
And there'd be no regret if you lost in 5.
No. We haven't sniffed one in two decades.
Right. You're right.
We haven't come anywhere close to an NBA Finals.
You're right.
Since I was 9 years old.
Well, I heard Suk make this point yesterday of, like, when you think about the Knicks' last title was in 74.
For a long time ago.
73.
We won in 77.
Yeah. They had at least been more recently than us in 99.
Well, we've both been to the same amount of finals now.
And they went to, what was the other one they were in, 95? What was the Rocket Series?
Oh, 90... that's right, the Rocket Series.
Hakeem versus...
So they've been now three times to the finals. We went twice, right?
We've been three times too, right? 77 win.
No, not post your title.
Oh, post your title.
Post the title.
We've been twice, yeah.
We've been twice. They've been three times now.
What was the third one for them that they went to? So 94, 95. Oh, this year, touche.
99,
I'm an
95.
Idiot.
They're
over there. Yeah.
It's okay. I just did that. I did the same.
I was like, wait, what other year did they go to the finals? Right now, you dumbass.
I also said yesterday they got swept. They lost the finals in 99 and 5.
I just remember Avery Johnson hitting a big shot. That's all I remember.
And I don't know why, but that shot is a sweep shot to me in my mind, but that's not how that finals went.
No, I would have told you it was a sweep shot too.
Basketball Reference broke my brain yesterday.
What? I don't remember that.
That being said, it's been largely a very similar resume. They've just done it on the East Coast, we've done it on the West, and they're doing it with an elite point guard because he's surrounded by the right stuff.
Nah, Dame, CJ, and Norman Powell going to figure it out. I like to build my teams with 6'2" small forwards.
Becky Hammon, hold firm, but be ready to write the apology.
I think she will.
I'm really rooting for him to do it.
I am too, man. I don't care who comes out of the West. I'm rooting like hell for the Knicks.
You're legitimately looking at the second player in NBA history to be the lead of a team at 6'2".
It's remarkable. And win an NBA championship.
Yeah, and win an NBA championship.
Remarkable if he pulls it off.
Hard to believe he wouldn't be the finals MVP if they do it.
Let's root for our short kings out there, okay?
Absolutely.
Short kings, stand up.
All right, we'll dive into some football stuff today. We already did a little football stuff. We got Ben Golliver at 9 a.m. Dirt and Sprague. We're back with more 7:40 on The Fan.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland's sports leader, 105.1 The Fan. Good morning. Happy to have you guys hanging with us on this beautiful little Wednesday morning. Hope your commute's going all right out there. I never check the traffic during the show.
Either,
do you ever think about doing that?
Every once in a while, a local news bulletin will pop up and be like, hey, 205 this morning looks like an absolute mess, which I'm assuming something is a mess every morning, but no, not specifically. Should we start giving our own traffic updates?
Well, we have a guy that usually mispronounces the cities
Tiggered,
and areas.
Over in Tiggered right now, things are a little slow. We're on the curves. Watch out for the curves.
I don't know why, but I randomly was thinking about, because the summer's basically here, almost here officially for all the kiddos.
Yeah, how many weeks left of school, two?
High school seniors have about one, believe.
That's wild.
My niece says she's done like...
Yeah, for everybody else, I think it's like June 11, 12, somewhere in there.
We're almost there, man.
Seniors have like one
more. Yeah, seniors are getting ready for graduation next week.
That's one of those, like, it doesn't resonate with me yet without kids of school age, and then all of a sudden there's kids in the neighborhood all day, and I'm like, oh, that's right, school's out. It's loud all day now. All right, that's what
we're going to do. Yeah, we got nephew number 3 going to graduate from high school.
Man.
Thing one, thing two, thing three, thing four.
Thing four.
Four kids. You just have to reference them as nephew number one.
Yeah, you're going to forget the names at some point.
But I don't know why I was thinking about this. I was thinking about summer stuff and like ideas for show stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to get a zoo person on, and I think that's going to happen next week.
Okay.
It was supposed to happen this week, and then you dropped the golf and then the ultrasound. And I was
not
like,
be
okay,
here
well,
Friday.
I don't want to start this without him.
You can do a zoo interview without me. Bring a snake in. Did you see RFK the other day picking up snakes and getting bit in the hand? Well, Cheryl Hines is yelling at him to stop. Did you see that video?
No.
Dude, go look, just search him.
He got bit on the hand?
He's at somebody's house. I didn't see the full story. I just saw the video
don't
of
touch
it.
Snakes, man.
There's two snakes slithering around. His crazy ass, I have raccoon balls in my trunk, walks up, picks up the snakes, and they're just biting him. And they're like, they're not like, friendly snakes, not that that's a thing, but you get what I mean. Like, they're
more like, why are you picking us up?
Semi-dangerous snakes, and they're just repeatedly biting him in the hand.
I did not see this.
And his wife is standing behind the camera like, okay, stop. Mm. And he's walking around with these snakes, and he's like jumping. He's like, yeah, they're biting me. What are you doing? You absolute psycho. This is not normal behavior, man.
I mean, yeah, we kind of already knew that, though.
Chopped off the head of a squirrel.
What was the animal that he left in Central Park that he admitted to later? Was it a baby bear?
He dumped
Wasn't
something.
Wasn't it a bear? I think it was a dead bear. He hit a bear with a car or something. He went back, picked up the carcass, and dumped it in the park.
It was a dead bear cub.
Yeah, and then it was big news, and for years nobody knew how or who.
Right.
And he was like, actually, it was me. Like, what?
He originally intended to skin the roadkill bear for me, but later decided to stage a fake cycling accident to prank the public. What is wrong with you, dude? That's like, if you're 19 years old, like, all right, I did a lot of dumb stuff, but like, when you're an adult doing that,
you guys running our healthcare.
That's make me healthy again, baby.
Bite me, snake. I dare you.
Maybe it's the venom. Maybe it's
maybe
good.
One of the venom. Yeah,
it's like one of those tongue whisper churches down there. You know, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you, man.
You know, what you do is you get that snake venom, you feel it down your plums. It gets you going again.
Dude, I'm telling you, go watch the video.
I got to watch the video.
It's bananas.
But anyways, I was thinking about segments and things to do for fun in the summer, and I don't know why, and now that I'm about to say it out loud, I'm already regretting it. I was like, what if we set up Dirt with like a weather segment?
Oh, you want me to be weather guy? I'll be weather guy.
I feel like, Sneaky, you've always
I love weather.
Admired,
I follow weather constantly.
Yeah, you're a big weather nerd.
Yeah, me and Zafino are homies.
Yep. Yep, the Zafro. I feel Zafro. Like you want to be a weatherman. In another life, you'd be a weatherman.
I'll give you a once-a-week weather update.
Yeah.
Give you your 7-day outlook, your 10-day outlook.
I don't know if I want the 10-day outlook.
You don't want a 10-day? That's too far for you? You don't want to look 10 days into the future?
I want you to tell me the jet stream and how hot.
I feel like weather people and non-weather people look at each other like they're a little crazy. Like, I look at you sometimes as if you're, like, you don't look at the weather sometimes, and it boggles my mind how people leave the house without looking occasionally.
I only know the weather today because I literally saw Matt Safino last night on the news, and he's like, tomorrow, it's going to be high 81, and I'm like, well, it's going to be a scorcher.
See, now you know. You got as a golfer who's getting back into it, you got the itch again, you're scratching it. It's a constant check for me. Yeah. What's the weather like? Do I want to play golf on Friday? Well, is it going to rain on Friday, or is it going to be 80 degrees?
Yeah.
I like playing golf in the heat. Give me those 90-degree days. I'm going to grab one of those tee times because the tee sheet won't be full because some people don't like playing in the heat.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I also just don't find – I don't see the reason to. And also, I don't mean any disrespect here.
Oh, I feel like this is going to be very offensive.
I appreciate our local meteorologists.
Mm-hmm. That being said,
I don't know how difficult it is to do the weather.
Easy job? Are we going easy job? Is this your photographer?
Let me ask you this. Yeah, this photographer. Click. It's one thing to know weather patterns and be able
being
to
a meteorologist.
A meteorologist. You actually have to study that, right?
Yes, weather patterns.
But Jamie Hudson, I watched Jamie Hudson do the Blazer postgame show, and the next day was doing weather.
I mean, you could do the weather.
That's what I'm saying.
You could do the weather.
But that's all my point is.
It doesn't mean you understand the weather, but you could do the weather.
Right.
Just like somebody could do the sports, but not understand the sports.
If you're doing the weather, not reading the weather,
I'm gonna do the weather,
you're stealing the weather reports from an online-based system, and then they're going to say, this is the map. You know, here is the church, here is the steeple.
Look at all the
Jamie,
people.
Jamie, open up the door, and we'll see all the people. I think that's what they're telling you to do,
I think
right?
You're taking it from your meteorologist. I think your meteorologist is telling you, here's the forecast. You just got to go on the news and read the forecast.
I don't think they have a meteorologist every day in-house. I think they're either getting it from a national thing or they're going online.
Mm.
And I think the non-meteorologist weather person is just told,
these are the droids you're looking for.
The stream is going to come in like this.
Right?
You know what I mean? It's gonna flow through.
Are you petting a cat right now?
I might be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is that a jet stream? Is that a circular stream?
It's a jet stream.
Did you get a look at that stream swag? Do you like that stream over there?
The stream from the east is going to flow through into the west.
Oh, it's flowing east to west?
And it's going
to
flow right off your coast. Lincoln City.
What does that mean?
It's going to be a chilly little evening with
so
that
wind. So the jet
wind.
Stream's reversing.
It's going the opposite direction.
That's what climate change does, folks.
No way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We're already there?
It's crazy.
The levees are breaking and the jet stream's going the
wrong
way.
Now, we got a high of here on Ontario, high of 91 today. All right? Down and over in Bend, you guys not quite as warm. It's still going to be 87 degrees today. I feel like that's kind of what you're doing there if you're not a meteorologist.
Somebody wants me to do a weather report of the top 25 college football teams after every week. Is my do a dirty poll slash weather report?
Oh, like that's how you...
Oh, a combo platter? Is that what
dirty
you
dirty poll weather
now,
report?
Now, do you want me to do weather for the city that we went to? Or am I doing our weather?
No,
what do
I
you need in Lubbock? I don't need to know Lubbock
weather.
No, I think
they're talking
weather.
About the dirty poll.
I think they're equating...
Yeah.
The
hey,
football,
Ole Miss
lost where the
this
football
weekend.
Team is, if it's moving up or down.
Thunderstorms.
Are storm clouds gathering?
Right. Got it.
Or
yeah. I think that's what they're asking.
Is it a
clear and
rosy warming trend coming for a particular team?
Like, what cities do you have on your weather app? Because I have random Big Ten cities on there because of this. Like,
okay,
I've already added
what I have right now.
I've already added Columbus because Oregon's there in November.
I have Portland.
Good. Yeah, you got to have Portland.
Yeah.
Well, Portland's doing my location one.
I have
so
Bend.
Official cities. I have Juneau, Alaska.
See, now, do you have a separate Portland?
No.
Because I have a separate Portland from when I'm not in Portland.
I have a separate Beaverton.
You live in Portland.
But what if you're out of town and you want to know what the weather's going to be like when you get back? So when I'm coming back from Hawaii, what am
Beaverton.
I walking into? Am
Are you
I walking
adding
into
or removing
hot?
Cities on your weather app?
Portland is a city, and it's also my location.
But
I
you never remove it?
I never remove Portland, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have Juneau, Alaska,
okay.
Because I went there once in 2018 and visited my aunt.
Did you want to know what the weather was?
It's miserable. Every day I see it, it's miserable. Lakewood, Washington, because that's where my dad lives.
Okay, so you're going up and visiting.
Ho Chi Minh City,
oh,
a.k.a. Saigon, because I went there once and I just still am always curious.
What the weather's like.
Cannon.
Yeah, it's got to have a beach city.
Maui, because Dare to Dream. Government Camp.
Okay. What government camp? You a big mountain man?
I went to the mountain once, and I don't think I ever deleted it. Where I live,
yes,
which is odd because I live there. I just step outside and find out. I don't know why I need a weather app.
Oh, is there a rain
it.
Front coming
Those
in?
Those are my cities.
That's all you got
that's
on there?
That's all I got.
Swag, what do you have on your weather
San
cities?
San Diego soon to be added to.
I have Bend. Yeah. I have Bend.
Yeah, kiddos over there.
Kiddos over there.
You go often.
I have Seattle. We have a lot of friends in Seattle.
Yeah.
Palm Springs.
Yep.
For when the next time we're going down to the buddies down there.
Yep. Yes.
I do have Beaverton. Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah.
If I'm traveling.
In case you're out of town, you want to know what the weather is.
I have Vegas. Because I'm
you go
as
there.
Long as I got pilots, I'm going once a year.
You'll be down there.
And I currently have Omaha.
Why Omaha? Oh, because of the Duck Big Ten tournament?
Yeah, I had to keep track of the weather. That replaced El Paso. I was happy to get El Paso out of there.
So
I replaced it with Omaha.
Like, do you think reading the news on the teleprompter at the desk is harder or easier than doing the weather as a non-meteorologist?
Harder.
Well, I think that's easier because even you still have to, you got to work the clicker with the forecast. You have the green screen.
Yeah, you're just looking at the screen. I feel like you once you do one or two trial runs with it. And
like
it
if I'm
that hard.
Sitting at the desk.
But what's
and
the difference
reading...
in time talking though? Like how long has the weather been on the news compared to reading the entire broadcast?
Right.
The weather bit's 5 minutes.
Yeah, but you're also, I'm assuming most of the people at the anchor desk have had some hand in crafting writing that script at some point.
Yeah, so
they have an idea.
Writing.
It's like...
But what if something like randomly makes you laugh?
Then you
that
just...
That isn't funny. And you can't stop giggling.
Then you're going to get fired.
You get the giggles in the wrong story.
You can't have the giggles after a bad story.
You know what I mean? That's just terrible.
Having the giggles last night on the local news would not have been received very well.
It would not have been good.
No.
To talk about or giggle during the Longview...
No giggles allowed.
...school board meeting with the parents.
No, cannot giggle.
But if it happens, you're screwed.
Can't let anybody fart on you.
I think the news reading's a little harder than the weather.
Yeah, I think so, too. The weather's short, dude. I could do it.
Yeah. You got a good outfit?
KGW, give me a call.
Yeah.
Okay? Here's your jet stream. It's going to be 82 degrees today, all right?
It's your dirt man here with your jet stream.
Folks, here's what we're doing. Take tops and sunglasses, baby. 82 degrees today.
I feel like you would dress how the weather is.
That's actually
you'd be the
great,
weatherman.
That would be a great bit.
You would be in flip-flops.
I'd have a little
and shorts,
suntan lotion on my nose,
lotion.
White nose.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
not
then
for
if
cocaine.
If it was raining and cold, you'd be bundled up. You're like, oh, I'm telling you what it's going to be today.
It'll be a little chilly out there, guys.
See me? Dress like me.
Here's your guide for leaving the house today. That's a brilliant idea.
People are like, why are you guys wearing two different sports apparel outfits? What's going on there? A blazer jacket with a duck beanie?
It's green, all right?
Why
calm
is he
down.
Doing that?
Calm down. It's green.
A loaded third hour. Ben Golliver in hour number four, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.